yeah, uh-huh. Hey, it's Chris and Rob, a late night talk show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Say that again.
And I'm Rob.
Say it one more time.
749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris and Rob late night talk show.
Yep, that's us.
And up first, we have a very, very special guest on the Chris and Rob show.
Now, this guy's smart. He's like a doctor and everything.
He's the chairman and curator of the Department of Anthropology at the American Museum of Natural History, which is, I believe, in New York City. And he's also an adjunct professor at Columbia, which I also believe is in New York City. And he is a leading authority on Neanderthals and is the author of The Human Odyssey, the co-editor of Encyclopedia of Human Evolution Prehistory, and the co-author, with, of course, Niles Eldridge, of The Myths of Human Evolution. At the museum, you know, he curated some groundbreaking exhibitions such as Ancestors, 4 billion years of humanity, and the highly praised Hall of Human Biology and Evolution. His new book is The Last Neanderthal, The Rise, Success, and Mysterious Extinction of Our Closest Human Relatives, Ian Tattersall. Welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Well, thank you. Nice to be with you.
Well, Ian, of course, your new book, The Last Neanderthal, raises many interesting questions. The first being, man, what'd you think of OJ tonight, huh?
Hey, I'll tell you.
OJ had his verdict in his civil lawsuit tonight, and his verdict came out liable for like $8 million, which is more than most of us dream about.
Anyway, The Last Neanderthal. What in the world is a Neanderthal, and when was the last one?
Well, the last one would have been about 27,000 years ago, and so no worries then about OJ. The first one, it's unclear, but probably something in excess of 200,000 years ago.
Now, Dr. Tattersall, is it true that Neanderthal man were really more or less like us, but that they were really possessed by demons, as the religious right-wing fundamentalists would have us believe?
I don't think I'd put it exactly that way.
Because these are the guys that are debunking the theory of evolution, and these guys are the guys that support creationism, and they say that Neanderthal man was nothing more than regular human beings who had fallen to the dark side and were possessed by demons and had thus become deformed.
Well, that's a new wrinkle that I hadn't heard.
You might want to put a display.
The Neanderthals were around some while before modern humans were.
Okay. And where did the Neanderthals live?
They lived all over Western Asia and Europe in this period between about 200,000 and 27,000 years ago.
And what were some of the other animals on the Earth? Were dinosaurs or woolly mammoths or saber-toothed tigers? Or what were some of the other animals they shared the planet with?
Woolly mammoths were around at that time, yeah, and woolly rhinos and so forth, but no dinosaurs. Dinosaurs went extinct about 65 million years ago.
What about the child's favorite, the saber-toothed tiger?
Sabertooths, yeah, were a very diverse group, and there were some that persisted into that period, certainly.
Let's try to boil this down to where the common man around here that's listening to our show can understand the difference between a Neanderthal human and a regular everyday Homo sapien like us. What was a day in the life of a Neanderthal like? What'd they look like? What'd they eat? What'd they do when they woke up in the morning?
Well, Neanderthals were relatively short-statured, pretty robustly built people.
They looked like Danny DeVito.
not exactly, no. They had skulls that had big brains in them, about the same size as our brains, but they were built rather differently. They had sort of long, low skulls, projecting faces with swept-back cheekbones. I think you'd have recognized one if you saw one in the subway.
The famous sloping forehead.
The sloping
forehead. They really were visibly different than us. They didn't just look like short, stocky, Danny DeVito-looking characters.
No, they were visibly different. Now, this is an interesting point that you're making, because we made some reconstructions of Neanderthals for the exhibit that you mentioned at the beginning of the show. And they were remarkably different. They looked remarkably different until we put the hair on the heads. And then once the hair went on the heads, the differences became less obvious. But still, they're there.
Well, did these guys have long hairs and beards like we think of cavemen as having?
Yeah, they obviously had longish hair. Presumably, they didn't have it, trimmed every month, and presumably the males had beards as well. But this is very inferential stuff. We don't know exactly what the hair would have been like, or what color it was, or.
We don't have a Neanderthal body that fell into an iceberg a million years ago and that we've unearthed. Like, I understand that we found some guys walking around in the Himalayas found a. an ancient body up there, but that was a human, wasn't it?
Well, there's the famous Iceman that was found in the Alps.
Was he Neanderthal or was he a regular human?
But he was much more recent, only about 5,000 years old.
Okay.
So how were the Neanderthal senses? I guess they were more feral than modern humans. So do you think they had a more acute sense of hearing and eyesight, or can you not
smell?
Tell?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think modern humans, of course, in the technological world today, are sort of tuned into a different set of stimuli. I think Neanderthals had a very good awareness of the world around them, sharp hearing, good eyesight, and so forth. But that's true of modern humans as well.
Do you know if they had any leisure time?
That's an interesting question. It looks as if Neanderthals had pretty tough lives, and their bones, for example, show plenty of evidence of a lot of physical activity. They probably had to spend a lot of their time foraging around for food and subsistence. They probably got a lot of physical exercise, and chances are that they didn't have a whole lot of leisure time.
We're talking to Dr. Ian Tattersall of... he's an expert on Neanderthal man. Do you actually go out and dig up bones of Neanderthals, or do you have other people do that and bring them to you and you study them?
Well, I've never actually dug up a Neanderthal myself. It's a whole lot easier to let the others go out and do the work and then go and look at the bones once they're nicely ensconced in a museum.
Do you pay them a good buck to do that?
We do it as a professional courtesy.
Good. You know, I've been asking you a lot of questions about what Neanderthal life was like to see if you could spell out some of the differences and similarities between them and us. I mean, where on the family tree did we split, and in what ways are we similar to Neanderthals to this day?
Well, we're very similar to Neanderthals, obviously. If you realize that, you know, we're 98% genetically similar to apes, you can see that we were obviously a great deal more similar than that to Neanderthals. So the similarities are greater than the differences. But nonetheless, I think that cognitively, and I think in terms of our thought processes, we are significantly different from the Neanderthals.
In what way?
Well, I don't think that Neanderthals probably had symbolic thought, which is tied up with language. Language involves creating mental symbols and manipulating them in the mind, and I'm not sure that Neanderthals were capable of doing that. They probably communicated in fairly sophisticated ways, but probably not using language, for example.
Did they write anything down or at least do cave paintings?
No.
No cave paintings?
No cave paintings. No, as soon as modern humans, behaviorally modern humans, showed up on the scene, we get evidence of cave paintings. We get evidence of music. We have 30,000-year-old musical instruments, such as flutes made out of animal bones, for example. We get notation on plaques. We get all these kind of symbolic activities being performed, and there's no evidence of that kind that was left behind by Neanderthals.
So Neanderthals were basically animals. They still hadn't been blessed with whatever the gift of the fall of man was, that the obelisk from 2001, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're all animals, and
Neanderthal ascended to that higher level of consciousness that makes one human?
I would say not. Now, there are other of my colleagues that would say that Neanderthals were just a strange version of us, but I really don't think that's the case. I do think that there are significant cognitive differences between us and the Neanderthals.
What physical evidence are you basing that on? It's cranium size or evidence found at, you know, the site that you dig up the bones where they probably lived?
Exactly, from the material evidence that they left behind them. As I was saying before, in the case of Neanderthals, you don't find cave art. You don't find engravings on pebbles. You don't find evidence of music or notation.
Did they have religion, and did they bury their dead?
Yes, they did. That's one thing that they certainly did do. How regularly they did it is questionable, and how elaborate burials were.
Well, what other animals besides human beings bury their dead?
I'm not aware of any other animals besides humans and modern humans and Neanderthals.
Well, that might be one of the things that might set Neanderthals above the rest of the animal kingdom.
This is true.
Like
this
I'm saying, true. The spark of humanity.
Exactly. We have a number of indications of that kind. We also have the fact that at least in one very famous case, we've got evidence that a Neanderthal who was severely handicapped, maybe from very early in life, survived to what was for a Neanderthal at an advanced age of about 40 years old, and must have had the support of his group to do that.
So you think maybe there was like a Neanderthal version of Jerry Lewis and Neanderthal Jerry's kids?
You know, I think Neanderthal Jerry Lewis was kind of redundant, but that's just me. We're speaking to Ian Tattersall of the American Museum of Natural History and author of The Last Neanderthal. So were the Neanderthals, did they hang out in clans or tribes, or were they singular-type creatures?
No, they were social creatures. They lived in groups whose size we're not absolutely sure of, but a guess would be maybe 10 adults and kids of various ages. Not very large size groups.
Now, you know, if you want to see some Neanderthals up close and in action, a good place to see Neanderthals on display is at the Shoemaker Center here in Cincinnati, Ohio, when the UC Bearcats take the court.
Right on. Are you a big basketball fan, Dr. Tattersall?
Not a great fan, but I follow it.
You know, I didn't get the final results tonight, but Kentucky was in overtime, up by 2 points or down by 2 points or something, and Kansas was about to lose their first game of the season in overtime.
Wow.
And they're like 22-0.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, tell me about it. Okay, we're talking to Dr. Ian Tattersall, expert on Neanderthal man. Whatever happened to the Neanderthals? Did they die out? Did they become extinct? Or did humans murder them?
Oh, that's the question of questions. Neanderthals lived in this area of Europe and Western Asia that wasn't entered by modern humans until about 40,000 years ago. And then within about 10,000 years, the Neanderthals became extinct. Now, whether that was because of direct conflict between the two or because humans were just more efficient users of the resources available in the landscape and kind of outcompeted them economically, or whether it was a combination of both, is not clear. We really don't know. But what you have to bear in mind is that most species that ever existed became extinct. I mean, extinctions are not an unusual thing in the history of life.
So humans and Neanderthals lived at the same time?
Yes, they did.
Did they interbreed?
I would say not. They're sufficiently different physically that I would believe that they belong to separate species and that they wouldn't have interbred, or there wouldn't have been very much monkey business going on.
Okay, well, do you, Eb? What are you laughing at?
I like the monkey business joke.
You do?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, sorry about that, folks.
Well, thanks, Dr. Tattersall, for taking some... You know, I could probably go on with this for hours and hours and hours, but it's getting late. Maybe we'll do this again sometime. Do you think that Neanderthals might have survived maybe in small clans somewhere and now they're cited as Bigfoot? Do you ever get asked that question? It seems ludicrous, but is it really?
Well, it's a question you naturally want to ask, and the answer is no. We don't even have any very good evidence for Bigfoot, let alone for the fact that Bigfoot is Neanderthal.
And Bigfoot's big, right? Bigfoot's supposed to be 7 feet tall. You said these guys were squatty.
Well, these guys were 5 foot three, 5 foot six tall on average. They were not very tall, but they were pretty robust.
But they didn't have big feet then either, did they?
They wouldn't have had extraordinarily large feet.
They could be the Momo, though.
But the
they could be the Missouri Monster.
Well, who knows? But you know, talking about Yetis and Bigfoot and so forth, any footprint that's left in snow for a long time becomes bigger anyway, just because of the melting and the sublimation of the snow.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dr. Tattersall. Next time we have you on, maybe we'll get one of those Bigfoot researchers on the other line and let you guys go at it.
Hey, I look forward to that. Nice talking to you.
Hey, nice talking to you, too. We'll talk to you later. Catch the book, by the way. You want to move some units here? Where can you get your book?
You should be able to get it at any good bookstore. It's published by Macmillan, and just ask for it, The Last Neanderthal.
And who's that on the cover of it?
That is... The Last Neanderthal, as we think The Last Neanderthal probably looked.
Looks like a guy I used to play in a band with. Guy played bass. All right, thanks. Ian Tattersall, The Last Neanderthal. It's got chock full of pictures. Check it out at your local bookstore. Thanks, sir.
Good night.
Good night. It's a Chris and Rob late night talk show. I'm Chris. He's Rob, and the phone lines are now open.
Hey, I didn't know we were having a foreigner on right off the bat.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, that was fine.
749-1444. That's the phone number here, the Chris and Rob late night talk show.
People with debt problems in Covington, Kentucky and surrounding areas can now receive the benefits of the nonprofit Consumer Credit Counseling Service. The new office is a satellite office of the Cincinnati CCCCCS and is located at 513 Madison Avenue on the first floor. Office hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The phone number, 651-0111, 651-0111. And who we got, Hal Z? Is that Hal Z?
Halls.
Hey, what's up, Halls?
Hey, Halls. Hello.
Hey, Halls.
Hi, Halls. What's going on?
Well, I just want to tell you one thing. The time scale, of course, is quite unrealistic, you know, by any scientific method you might want to use.
What time scale are you referring to?
Turn your radio down, Halls.
Okay, here we go, here we go.
Okay, this is better.
You should be able to listen through the phone nowadays. We're high-tech, Halls.
Now we're all set here. Listen to this.
Yeah, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris. Rob is sitting next to me. We're talking to Halls. Where are you calling from tonight, Halls?
Hey, Halls. Hey, listen, this is right from straight from Clifton, the center of the universe.
Okay.
You know?
Give us that time zone stuff you were talking about. Chris is always trying to get people off their topic.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the whole anthropological, archaeological, sciences, of course, have had to, like, constantly revise their projections, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And your last guy on there was a little bit off from the more modern projections for the time sequences there, which was Neanderthal was probably around about 200 million years ago.
What?
Hello?
That put him back there with the Tyrannosaurus Rex and all that.
Yeah, well, it's you know, you gotta be a little more realistic.
But this is the guy we're talking to tonight was the expert on Neanderthals.
Yeah, well, you know, we have examples of Neanderthals alive right now. They're called the Australian Aborigines.
You think those guys are Neanderthals?
Absolutely. That's been a theory for quite some time now. The fact that he avoided that only
he didn't avoid it. We never brought it up to him.
Well, you know, He's got to support, like, you know, something that fits in with the biblical and a lot of folk traditions, you know, about the history of humanity.
He didn't seem too worried about fitting in with biblical traditions.
No, he wasn't really worried about that, but that's because he's got a job somewhere at a university, and you don't want to rock the boat, you know?
So what are you saying? He's wrong that Neanderthals are really a lot older than he says it is? Why would he lie about that?
Well, he's... the reason he would lie about that is because he's getting paid to do that.
Why does it serve the interest of the American Museum of Natural History to have their guys lying about when Neanderthals ran around on the planet? Why does it serve their interest to have their people do that?
Well, there's all kinds of things that are involved there, and a lot of it is to do with the...
Hold on, Halls, hold on. Are we getting into a conspiracy? I hope
so. You have to understand.
Cool, go for
that
it.
The whole idea of the all conspiracy right. theorists.
Yeah.
The whole idea was a FBI and CIA.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of their ploys, which was to say, if anybody catches us in our conspiracy, we'll have a whole conditioning aspect going on where we will convince everybody out there that anybody that comes up with conspiracy theory will be ridiculed and will be the brunt of a lot of jokes.
No one's making fun of y'all. We just want to hear your theory.
Well, I'm just saying, that's part of the whole.
Are you saying somebody's trying to undermine the Bible and the Book of Genesis?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you a Christian yourself? Hey, Halls.
The most subversive, ridiculous propositions that could ever be imagined.
Why is that? What's so ridiculous about it?
Well, they had a whole lot of stuff that they had to try to like fit in with the old structures that they had going there. And the Roman, you know, we have, like, the Roman...
Wait, you mean like the Tower of Babel and Noah's Ark and stuff like that?
Oh, the whole Romans, the whole thing with Noah's Ark, that was all old traditions that go back to the actual... When the planet here was formed, actually, the big event was the formation of the oceans. And, of course, that is an old tradition that goes way back...
So you're saying that there's really a lost city of Atlantis underneath that ocean?
Oh, God, yes. That's pretty much a fact.
That's what I thought you were insinuating. Halls, you are all over the place, you know that?
I'm all over the place,
you probably believe in the Commission of 300, too, don't you?
Pardon?
And the Skull and Bone Society. Are you all over that?
Skull and Bones, right in there.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right in with the whole thing there, you know?
Halls, I love you, but you're a nut.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Skull and Bones exists. No one's ever tried to deny it doesn't.
But that it has satanic overtones and it has something to do with achieving the office of the President of the United States of America.
But the thing is that a disproportionate number of the power wielders in this country have been Skull and Bones.
Why is that?
Because they
have the power of the dark side in them. That's why Skull and Bones means death, right? Skulls, bones, dead bodies, dead Neanderthal bodies, maybe.
Okay, be cute. Don't debate. Be cute.
I'm always cute.
Be funny.
It's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. That's the phone number. We're Chris and Rob, and we'll be right back.